Also, I sound weird. Do I sound weird to you guys?
No, you sound normal to me.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Wait,
Oh, genius.
Was it this thing? This cheap thing?
No. But now I feel better, so let's just do it.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Play This Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Cross, and sitting with me in the studio. Wow, that wasn't even English. Sitting with me in the studio today, we've got Alex Waro.
Very smooth. Hi.
And Susie Oakes.
Hey there.
Joining us for the first time. You've been with us now a month?
A month.
I think, yeah. So she's a new employee.
A month and a week.
I didn't even realize. Susie, is this your first time on this podcast?
It is.
Nice.
Right.
Welcome.
It's my first day.
Yay. So on this podcast, we talk about digital entertainment, all the things you're playing, whether that's movies, music, games, stuff like that. And today, our main topic of conversation is going to be your favorite mobile games or game or what makes your favorite mobile game.
Wait, can we have more than one?
I guess.
Okay, thank God. Because all right, so we had homework, right? Like, I went home over the last couple of days, and I was like, find my favorite mobile game to get ready for the podcast. How do you pick just one?
You don't. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. So let's start being abstract. What makes a great mobile game, Alex Waro, go?
Okay, it has to be asynchronous. So it cannot require me to spend more than 5 to 10 seconds at the minimum, right? But it has to also allow me to spend...
Wait, more than five... I can't understand that. Can't require you to spend more than 5 or 10 seconds at the minimum?
Yeah, okay. So maybe that's a little too short. Like,
yeah, I don't understand what you mean.
It's a game that I can pick up and play for 30 seconds to a minute. And achieve something noteworthy. Play a turn or whatever, send a message or something interesting.
Gotcha.
And I can also, if it's good enough, play for an hour or two straight. Like, I can basically wear out the battery playing this game.
I see. So that's really flexible playtime. Like, you can get something done in a very short amount of time, but also you can play a long time without the game telling you, sorry, see you in 2 hours when your timers are up.
Yeah, and I would love it if it could be multiplayer as well, but that's definitely not required.
Okay. All right. Susie, what makes a great mobile game, generally?
It has to be something, from launch to playing, shortest time possible, like nothing really resource intensive, nothing that's going to kill your battery, and then something that's just things that are new when they have a new idea, like, you know, letterpress or...
Letterpress, I didn't think had a new idea at all.
Well, but it had a really attractive way of twisting a time-honored tradition of playing, like,
it did.
Competitive spelling games.
It was very polished, we're going to take turns coming up with words on a grid, I didn't think was a new
thing. Oh, maybe I'm thinking of Spell Tower, where it was kind of a word thing with a Tetris mashup.
I like
it when they take two games and mash them together.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you know, also, I don't know if you need it. I feel like the only thing you need is that variable time sync, but I love a game that can be played with one hand in portrait mode. Because I'm so often like on a bus or waiting for something or walking somewhere, and I can't afford to give up two of my hands to turn the phone sideways and play a game.
I'm not going
to
quite go that far, but I think my two main things are, I agree with you that maybe 30 seconds is a little short, but it's got to be something I can pick it up, I can play just a minute or two and get something meaningful done and turn it off. And if I feel like playing it for... maybe not wear out the battery, but if I feel like playing 30 minutes, I can sit there and play 30 minutes. It's not going to tell me, you've made your one move, now wait for your friend. You know, it better have a bunch of asynchronous games going if my move is 30 seconds and then I'm waiting for my friend.
Sure.
And then the number two thing was, the interface really has to be made for the idea that I've got this little 4-inch phone screen or something and I'm thumbing around on it, not... I can't stand virtual sticks and buttons. They're almost always terrible.
Yeah.
I can't stand games that are obviously made for the iPad, but they cram it onto a phone and everything you have to tap is a really small target.
I hate that. It's like you're a second-class citizen.
Just don't support iPhone.
Yeah, just tell me.
Yeah, just say this is just iPad and I'm fine with that. That's cool. So, yeah, those are my main things. Outside of that, there's a lot of variety to games that I like, and I was trying to think of what makes a great mobile game, and then I said, oh, but I really love this other game, and that's totally against that rule, and I couldn't come up with any other rules.
Just a quick spot check. Are we all carrying iPhones?
I am.
Yes.
Mm.
That sort of tells you something about the nature of mobile game publishing.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think there's a large gap in not just the number of releases, but the general quality between iPhone and Android. And I really just wish they made an iPhone with a slightly larger screen, and then I'd be so happy.
That would be awesome.
They don't need one of these big old Note 2 tablet version things, but like a 4.6-inch screen or something like that.
I thought the big screen thing was just kind of hype and like, oh, they have no ideas, so they just make the screen bigger. But then after I started here, I got an Android, and then I just reviewed an even bigger Android, and I'm got to say, like, I wish my iPhone screen was bigger.
Oh,
now.
I know.
It's so much better.
And it looks like the iPhone 5S is probably not going to have a bigger screen. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm not getting an iPhone this year.
One of the reasons I'm glad I don't review phones or HDTVs, at least on a regular, is that I don't have to look at the latest, greatest, most beautiful screens and then like, go back to my old dinky, in this case a 4S, and be like, this is okay, I guess.
Okay. Then if we know what makes a great mobile game, what is your favorite mobile game? Or couple, if you really can't.
I mean, I really lost sleep over this.
Okay.
Like, I couldn't pick just one. And what's worse is, like, all of my favorite mobile games totally fly in the face of my...
The rules you just established.
Not all of them, but my demand that a really excellent, timeless mobile game, one that's going to get the most time out of me, is going to be the one that I can play with one hand in portrait mode.
Right.
Because that's when I have my phone out. I'm checking Twitter, I'm checking email, and then I'm playing a turn in letterpress
right.
or whatever. But... The two games that I love the most are Hero Academy by Robot Entertainment, which demands to be played in landscape mode, but it's a turn-based asynchronous strategy game, and then Super Hexagon,
which
is by Terry Cavanaugh and also demands to be played in landscape mode, but it can be played in about 15 to 30 seconds on average.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you're good, you will go 30 seconds. But.
Yeah.
And that really demands two hands, that one.
Yep.
For sure. Okay. And why are those your favorites?
Man. Okay. So Robot Academy is amazing. Well, it's more...
You mean Hero Academy?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
They should totally make Robot Academy.
They may as well, because Hero Academy is kind of a money sink. Like, you can get it for free, I think. But there are ads, and you only get the base team to play with. And I spent... whatever it was, $10 so long ago to get all the stuff that I don't even remember what it's like to play in the free version.
Right.
I imagine it's terrible. I imagine you're like a horrible second class citizen just like clicking through ads and like buying team colors and stuff. But it is basically a turn-based strategy game where you have like a little, maybe it's a 5x8, I should have it in front of me, but I don't. Like a 5x8 chessboard where you move little characters around and you try to beat the other team or destroy their crystals. And it's not... that good, but it's a heck of a lot of fun. It's
right.
way more
it's
fun
a lot,
than it is
it's
good.
It's like Heroes of Might and Magic's strategic combat or something.
It's yeah, little, it's yeah. just like that. Yeah. And I loved those games as a kid growing up playing PC games, so maybe that's kind of why I love it here. And the graphics are super cartoony and fun, and I just... nobody I know is still playing this game. It came out a year or two ago, but I'm still playing it, and I think it's great.
Okay.
So good job, Robot.
All right. And why is Super Hexagon, which is punishingly difficult?
Yeah, so Super Hexagon is a time trial where you are trying to like not die, and it's counting time down. And as time goes by, it's harder and harder to spin your little ship around and not run into the walls. And it's great because it's really hard, and it's like it feels like all the thrill and challenge of playing a modern video game condensed down into about a minute and a half. So it's great, a quick fix, and it's has an awesome score competition mode.
It's a game that you have to play with the music on, I find. Like, there's a beat to that music. There's not a lot of music to it, but there's a beat to it that gets you in a zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't get in the zone that lets me play that game for more than, like, 10 seconds without dying without the music on.
See, I totally disagree. Susie, have you played it at all?
No.
Okay, so it's...
You should play it. It'll only take you 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Super Hexagon.
It's for a certain kind of audience. Like, if you hate dying a lot, then you might hate this game. But if you turn off the music, I find it's easier because the music stresses me out.
Oh.
If you turn the music off, you can just listen to whatever, a podcast or something, and just kind of chill out and try to not, you know, hit the right color dots or whatever and try to keep your ship alive. And it's much more calm, and I find that I score much better.
Okay.
To play it.
Hmm.
Also, I think it's only like 99 cents. Maybe
I think it's
99 cents.
I think it's
99
cents.
On iOS.
Yeah. It's probably the worst, money to time you play investment.
I mean, but, okay, so yeah, like on
no,
a
you
round,
play a lot.
Basis,
I know you
yes,
play over.
$2.99 right now.
It's $2.99.
Yeah,
still worth it. But anyways, Like, it's $3. It's a cup of coffee.
Yeah, interesting.
But I have definitely sunk like an hour and a half sitting on the couch watching a movie while just playing that game over and over and over, trying to beat somebody's score.
Have you ever had your hand fall asleep while you're playing an iPhone game?
No, but I have had it cramp up. But I have giant gorilla hands, so that might be why. I don't know.
You need bigger iPhones.
Yeah, maybe.
Susie, what are your favorite?
I really like all those board games that they ported over to the iPhone and iPad. My favorites are Ticket to Ride and Carcassonne.
Okay.
Because they're cool. They have asynchronous multiplayer. You can play them against people that you're just hanging out with. And they just really, you know, opened my eyes to those cool, nerdy board games that I never played.
Now, do you find that they play well on the iPhone? Or do you
They did a good job with Ticket to Ride. It's a different app, which is a little annoying. They should have made it universal.
It's Ticket to Ride Pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't have as many expansion packs, but it seems like it wouldn't fit because the pieces are tiny and the cards are tiny, but it works. I think maybe it helped that I was playing the iPad one already, and I was just so excited to have it on my phone.
Right.
So, you know, maybe if I'd played the phone one first, I wouldn't have fallen for it quite as much.
We have Ticket to Ride on paper here at the office.
I saw that, yeah. And I've played it a couple times after I learned how to play on the iPad. I played it with people, and they thought it was funny that I didn't know, like, you know, which pile to put my discarded cards in and stuff. And
true.
I'm like, the iPad just takes them away.
They just take
and they
care
just
of
disappear.
That stuff. Yeah. That's true.
So they kept laughing at me, but... Yeah, so that stuff's really fun because I'd never, you know, gone to a game shop and shelled out $50 for a big board game with lots of pieces to lose. And
but that's fun. There's a certain fun to that. That I mean, I like the board games on you know, apps and stuff like that too. I really like, for all its limitations, I like playing Small World. It's so much faster than setting up this board with all these pieces and all those things. But there is something fun to just like physically looking your opponents in the face right there.
Yeah.
You know, having a beer with them or a glass of wine or whatever and just hanging out and playing games.
So I got to ask, Susie, if your first experience with Ticket to Ride or Carcassonne was on iOS, are you more or less interested now in going into like an actual physical game store and picking up a box for the family and playing at home?
More, definitely. Yeah. My parents are really into board games, but they weren't into those nerdy ones. They play bridge and, you know, like.
In some
card
ways,
games
is
and
like
dice
really
games.
More nerdy now because I don't know anybody under the age of 50 who knows how to play bridge.
My mom keeps telling me to join a bridge group to meet people my own age, and I'm like, I don't even know where to start telling you what's wrong
like,
with that.
Do you take a Jello mold with you? Like, yeah, I don't think people hang out that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Although bridge is good, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Can you play bridge too?
Yeah, it's not that complicated. God, have you played any of those games where you take a trick like spades or something like that?
Euchre.
No. Euchre's awesome.
No.
People don't know Euchre.
Yeah.
There's a good Euchre. Apps are a great way to learn card games, by the way.
I'm going
to
look for Euchre app right now.
And Euchre's one of those, and it's spelled E-U-C-H-R. Yeah. It's a Midwest game, and it's fast. It's so fun.
Because Wisconsin plays it.
Yeah. Once you learn how to play, if all four people are experienced Euchre players, it's like you play a card, the next guy plays a card. You know how the whole hand's going to play out. Everyone just puts all their cards down. Mm-hmm. You know what the score is. It goes really, really fast. My roommate in college taught me how to play that.
Nice. I'm sorry. I kind of cut you off a second ago because I was like, of course I know how to spell Euchre, but maybe not everybody does.
I'm letting the listeners know.
And it turns out there's an excellent Euchre 3D app on iOS for 99 cents, so I'll just give that a shot and I'll report back.
Okay.
And how awesome
we have to get playing Euchre in the office.
Yeah.
Because we have, once you learn, we only need one other person who knows how to play Euchre. I'm sure somebody knows how to
play. Can you gamble on Euchre?
Oh, you can gamble on anything.
Not that I would gamble in the state limits, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a team game. You play with the person across from you. So.
And that's the other thing I like about board games on iOS is that you can play them by yourself if you can't round up, you know, a bunch of other people in the same space.
Totally.
Right. So that goes into, I guess, my favorite iOS games. And I, like you, I just sat there and couldn't think of them because they're kind of so disposable to me, too.
You have so many on your phone, right?
No, I'm good about deleting them, like, when I don't play. But I don't play anymore. There's a lot of games I'm, like, really into this game for a week, and then I let it go. I've got my fill. I'm done.
When they're $1.
I've run out of it.
Yeah.
Or even $5. Like, boy, I got my time out of that, you know? So, and then I let it go, and I never go back to it. You know, I can't tell you how much Tiny Tower I played. Just the biggest waste of time. But some of my, I guess, two highlights I have to bring up are there was one called Space Miner.
Okay.
Or Space Miner : Space Ore Bust, O-R-E Bust. And it was a top down like shooter type thing where you're a little space and it's like asteroids.
Right.
But and it has, you know, sort of the virtual stick thing, but it did it really, really well because instead of a joystick, you basically have like a steering wheel and that's the direction your ship faces, you know? So it's easy to move your thumb in a little circle and point your ship. I felt it was like the best controls for that sort of thing I've ever played. And you shoot all these asteroids and collect their ore and then use them to upgrade your ship. And then you get access to new sectors and there's a whole story that goes along with it. It's really, really funny. It's with all these little cartoon guys and everything. So it's kind of asteroids combined with some space combat, and there's a story, and you play
so through. Did you find it weird that when you describe controlling it, you say you're moving your finger like on a steering wheel. Is that like in a corner, or is it actually on the screen?
It's off in a little corner. And then on your other side is your fire button. Your fire and your like collect or beam.
So I'm trying to, when you're playing this on your phone, is it in landscape or is it portrait?
Okay. Landscape.
That's all right.
Yeah. So just where you would have the a virtual stick, you just it's like a little virtual wheel.
It's called Space Miner?
Space Miner. Mm. And it's a couple years old now, and I think the HD version was when they did an update called Space Miner HD when they released the original Retina like iPhone 4s. That's right. How old it is. So there's no like iPhone 5 width version. Mm. The developer of this game has gone on to make a whole bunch of other things, including some contract work like NBA Live, you know, for EA and stuff.
Sure.
And then they're the guys who made Ninja Town for the DS, if you're familiar with Ninja Town.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the developer. So Space Miner was a lot of fun. I played that forever, and I think they really got the controls right. And then the other one was Ascension. I think it's Ascension Rise of the God Slayer or something like that.
Right,
but then there's expansions.
Chronicle of the God Slayer.
That's it. Yeah. It's the kind of name only a nerdy, like, collectible card game would have.
It makes me sound really important for playing that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll be right back. I got to play a couple rounds to Chronicle
the God Slayer. Chronicle the God Slayer that I'm going to do.
Man.
But it's like a Magic the Gathering kind of game, but a little bit simpler than that. Mm-hmm. I think the game goes pretty fast. It has a good AI. You can play against the computer. You can play against other people. You can have a bunch of games going asynchronously. They did a really good job with the interface to let you, you know, sort of play with cards. It's like quick. I get so frustrated by the actual Magic the Gathering apps that have all this animation that's like, I don't need to see all this card zooming and just show me that. At this point, just show me the cards. Like I tap it, zoom in, just.
Yeah, you want it to be fast, responsive.
I want it to be fast and responsive. And compared to so many of these other card games, it's so fast and responsive. And I think it's a much easier game to play that way than in real life, where there's so much shuffling involved because, like, you have to keep cycling the deck and shuffling and stuff.
Sure.
It really makes me want them to make Dominion on iOS, which there's always been rumors about.
Well, there is a Dominion on iOS, but it's not the official.
Right.
And, like, as soon as the guys who make the Dominion board game or card game, which is excellent and everyone listening should go play it, actually release an actual app, the people who make the current one, the unofficial Dominion app, have agreed to take theirs down. Also, it's free, so they're not making any money off it.
Yeah.
But I don't play that one. I remember we did play Ascension. You clearly are playing it off and on all the whole time. I remember I had like a week or two where we were playing it in the office last year or something.
Yeah.
Right after it just came out. Yeah. And it was great. Like, I was playing on my phone, it was playing on his tablet, you were playing on both, I think. And it was awesome because it was the kind of game where you could just, like, leave your phone on your desk at work, and then it would just buzz, and it would be your turn. And you quickly, like you said, it's fast, responsive, you just play a thing. It's like a deck-building game, so there's never anything you had to pay for in the base game. And you just make your turn and go.
Right.
And it was fantastic. It was, like, the best parts of a Facebook game without having to worry about spending any energy or waiting for downtime. Like, it was all tied up in the players.
Yeah.
So if you have a really good game
going, it's easy to understand, you know, but outside of the, like, weird names of things, like, the rules are pretty simple, or it's got a pretty good tutorial.
Yeah.
And they have since, the real physical game has had four or five expansions now, and they have almost all of them out for iOS as in-app purchases. Mm-hmm. And each one adds a nice, like, one simple wrinkle to the rules that is meaningful, you know, and it kind of changes everything up.
Sure.
In one way. So, yeah. So Ascension, I guess those are my two, but they're nothing alike. Like, they don't fit into a profile of my perfect.
They didn't even fit your perfect game at all.
Right. Well, they both are things that you can play in just a couple minutes and get something meaningful done and then go away. But they definitely, you can't play them with, like, one hand or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know what's weird? It's like, I feel like we've gone around the table and we've talked about a lot of great games, and none of them are really, the games that I associate with mobile gaming. Like, they're not Angry Birds, they're not Cannonball or any kind of Endless Runner, they're not Temple Run.
Right. Not, I don't feel that those Infinity are like Blade. The best mobile games. And every time a new one comes out, I just kind of groan and roll my eyes. And
yeah.
I mean, they're fine, and I'm never going to begrudge a game that other people enjoy playing. Like, All right, you have a lot of fun playing Angry Birds. That's fine. Sure. Cool. You know, or Cut the Rope or something. You
but
know?
It's, great. It's so interesting that, like, so many mobile games, not all by a long shot, but a good deal of mobile games are made with the presumption that the player is going to sink a significant amount of time into it. They're going to sit down and boot up Infinity Blade or boot up Badlands or whatever they're playing, or Angry Birds, and just play through. Like, I mean, you can play a level of Angry Birds when you're, you know, walking to the bus or whatever, but it's clearly designed to keep you playing level after level after level after level.
Right.
And Badlands or Infinity Blade or Temple Run are designed to have you sit down and just sink into them for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And These, like, we don't really want those games. Like, I mean, it's great when it happens, but you really want a game that's like, give me a little jolt of satisfaction within a minute and a half or less.
Right.
Like, let me accomplish something meaningful and interact with people that I enjoy playing games with and then be done. And That's just, you know, those games don't seem to get as much press coverage.
The Angry Birds and the Endless Runners, those are fun, but then you hit that frustration point where You can't really get past it.
Right.
And then
they'll sell you a way to get past it for monies. Yeah.
But with something where there's like, you're playing a multiplayer match and you can play through a game and say, oh, I really messed that one up, I'll try again. You know, so you kind of have, those invite.
Right. You know, or it's something where you're constantly building. Like, it's hard and you're frustrated, but like, so Tiny Tower is a great example of like, it's meaningless, but I really want a game just like that where you could play that in portrait mode with your thumb and like do something in a minute and then come back to it later, you know, and it's fine. And if you ever get a part where it's frustrating, you're just constantly building. It's like, oh, well, I'll just get past that because you're building in a tower, you're building experience, you're building whatever,
right?
You know, you're going to get past that hump. It's not a skill thing or something like that. So.
Yeah, I get really sucked into those stupid tycoon games.
Totally.
The Simpsons Tapped Out. I was into that for so long. I finally abandoned it, but I still get push notifications for it every
once
in a while.
Does that game ever end?
No.
Okay.
They just keep changing it. So right now it's summer, so they have this whole waterfront set, and they keep bringing in new characters and new things, but they're very... They're too pushy with the in-app purchases. Like, one of my friends in that game, I think, works at EA because every time there's a new thing that costs 5 million coins, he has
it.
Yeah. So
either that or he's what they call a whale.
So my Springfield will never be as good as his Springfield. And so I have
they
to
have
stop.
A name for those people. Like, in-app development, they call them whales.
I'm pretty sure
it's like the hunting the whales. Because the people who will, whenever you look at in a game, there's in-app purchases, and this one's 99 cents and that one's $2.99. And there's something that's $50 or something. And like, who's going to buy
a
7 million mana for $50? There's a very, very tiny percentage of your audience, a very, very tiny percentage, who will pay an outrageous amount of money, you know, on Smurfberries or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and they call them whales, and they teach app developers, like, don't kill your whales. Don't design your game so only the whales can be successful, but never say no to somebody's giant pile of money who they're going to hand you to play your mobile app.
Right.
Yeah. So, I don't know who those people are either, though. Like, who spends more than $100 on playing one mobile app over time?
Man, I don't know, but if Tiny Tower was multiplayer and kind of like SimCity, like you all shared towers in the same park or whatever,
I wish.
I might spend money.
And they could
just to build a bigger tower than my friends.
Yeah, to a point, like a few bucks, but I wouldn't go that. I don't know how far I'd go, but I'd love that. I'd love them to come visit your tower and stuff and all that kind of stuff. That's all I need. Like a tiny tower that has a little more strategy to it or something. Oh my God, I just thought of another mobile app.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite games ever. Game Dev Tycoon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Story or Tycoon?
Game Dev Story, the Kairosoft one, which is a game I heard about just before flight, and I downloaded it, and I played it the entire six-hour flight. I played like two full games, just marathoning, hooked my phone up to the, up to like a charger, like battery
pack on the plane.
On the plane.
Because it'll totally kill your battery.
Because it'll totally kill my battery and just... did nothing until they told me I had to put my phone away, and then I'm like, just 1 minute, I just have to, it's one thing.
Yeah,
I was super addicted, and then I kind of had my fill, but still, that game just sucked me in bad.
No, totally. Gainer Sword did the same thing to me, and that was the first game I played where I actually drained a battery. It's where I get they got the expression, and like it was Gainer Sword did that to me. And then also a game called King of Dragon Pass, which came out.
Oh, yes.
It's really built for iPad, but you can play it on your iPhone. I've got it there. It was like $10. It probably still is on iOS, but I took it home on my iPad to Thanksgiving break. And I just ended up, I was like stuck on a mountain somewhere in Virginia. We were snowbound, and I just like, I didn't eat much. I didn't sleep much. I just like sat and played this game for like probably 20 or 30 hours over a weekend. It was not healthy. But
Susie, have you played either of these?
No, but I got sucked into Pocket Planes, which I think is from the Tiny Tower developer, over Thanksgiving vacation. I installed it. I think I had already installed it because someone had said something on Twitter, and I was kind of looking through my phone like, oh, there's these apps I haven't tried yet. And I got sucked into that and played it. I played it that entire week. I got, you know, leveled up 20 times, and then I kept playing it, even though there's nothing to it. It's really silly.
It's really
But
there's
every
a lot
week,
more to say. Game dev story.
Here's a mission, and you have to. If you do good in this mission, it's just this week. Then you'll get a new part.
Those
for
guys
your plane.
Have a new one that I haven't tried out, which is you build a train of adventurers who go into a dungeon.
Oh gosh, yeah.
It's like you can't change their order and you can't stop them from moving. They just move through a dungeon and
It's like Snake. It's like we used to play Snake on your old Nokia phone, your flip phone or whatever. You would just sort of guide this little long snake around it. As you picked up power-ups, your train would get longer, but then also you couldn't run into your own train or hit the walls or anything. And it's just like that, except now your train is adventurers and you're running around like kind of killing monsters and stuff.
Yeah,
and as you kill
monsters,
you get more people in your train. But then you can't run into yourself.
And you can level them up and all this other stuff. Yeah, I haven't tried it at all yet.
It's sort of surreal. I played it for like an hour. It's good. It's well made. Like it's challenging to play, but it's sort of a strange. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Like why are we doing this and why are we all online? And there's no just.
Okay.
It's all right.
Mm. All right.
You know what else is surreal?
What?
But it's way better. It's called there's a game called God of Blades on iOS. Now it's on PC and maybe even Android. But it came out first on iOS about a year ago. It's from a group called, I think, White Whale Studios. And it's basically like, do you guys remember those old like pulp fantasy novels from the 70s and 80s, like Conan and all that kind of stuff? Okay, so if you remember in the bookstores, those crazy cover arts with like the crazy purple and red backgrounds, and they're always like charging off to fight the Legion of to fight doom cults, or they were fighting ancient gods or whatever. This game is just that to a T. It's an endless runner where you're like you're a spirit of a blade king chasing down these immortal demons, and you're like fighting your way through these crazy spirits.
Okay,
it's awesome. It's super dumb, but the actual action of running from right to left and cleaving your way through these ridiculous enemies as you go to complete your immortal quest or whatever is fantastic.
Okay.
And it's you like level up your swords and you get to like go to new worlds and stuff, and it's just a really pretty, fun, silly game.
Okay.
I love it.
How much does it cost?
I don't know. It's been a while. I feel like not very much. Maybe $1.99?
$3.
$3?
$3 is the sweet point.
Cheap.
It's universal.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to check that out. All right. Well, that's about it for... I mean, we could sit here and talk about games we liked forever, but I think we've exhausted favorites fairly well.
Sure.
So before we let everybody go, let's just... What are we watching, listening to, streaming? What you streaming?
You guys first.
Okay. Susie, you're new here. What are you streaming?
Yeah, well, and I'm writing the streaming TV column.
Right.
It shows up every other Friday. So I've been streaming Orange is the New Black.
Okay.
And I got sucked into that. And then
what's that about?
I've heard good things.
It's from the creator of Weeds. It just dropped on Thursday. It's a Netflix original, so they put, you know, all 13 episodes or however many there are.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it's about a nice lady who had kind of a wild past, and she gets sentenced to a 15-month stint in a women's prison. And it's actually based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
So the person who this happened to, Piper Kerman, wrote a memoir about it, and then they made it into a show. Yeah. So almost the whole cast is women, and they're, you know, very diverse cast, and good plot lines. They kind of balance some humor with some really adult, freaky drama. Mm-hmm. So it's not Oz. It's got, you know, a sense of humor. But there is some, you know, messed up stuff in there where you're just like, whoa. If it was on TV, it would be on HBO or Showtime or something.
Sure.
So, yeah.
That seems to be the tack they're taking with the Netflix series.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I think from when you start the pilot, I think maybe within 2 minutes you see boobs and naked people and stuff. So.
Sure.
I'm in. Where can I watch it?
Yeah, Netflix. On Netflix.
Netflix, right?
And
Netflix.
It was funny because then I found another pilot on Netflix. Well, it was another 6-episode Netflix thing that was a British show they brought over called Hit and Miss. And it's Chloe Sevigny from Big Love,
right.
Mm-hmm. And she's playing a hit man she was born a man, but now she's a woman.
I
she's
read
a hit
really
woman,
good things about this show.
And you see her naked in the first 2 minutes,
that's
too.
Not
so
big,
it was really fun because it was
thing.
The first two shows that I was like doing for this column, and I'm like, maybe that's the theme. Maybe it's, can I find shows where you see the female protagonist naked in the first 5 minutes? Only found two, but...
Oh, well, you should compile a list, and we should do that article,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Naked
get
heroine
a lot of
in
search
the first
traffic.
5 minutes. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So those are both good. I liked Orange is the New Black a little better, but I'll circle back and finish Hit and Miss at some point.
All right.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm still working on Dexter, just like catching up on the last couple seasons of Dexter with my girlfriend.
That show makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I've still
a
never
bit.
Seen it. It's on my list of ones to just watch all the way through at some point.
Yeah, do that. The season they're in now, the season they're starting now, which is 8, I think, is the last season.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've read that they're ending it. So it's almost time to just go, oh, it's finally over. I can marathon on it. In fact, if you started now, you probably would not catch up before they're done.
Right.
I'm mostly just doing that because there's not a lot of new TV. There's like Venture Brothers, which is hard to stream anywhere.
Yeah.
They're about to start Whose Line Is It Anyway, which is like on the CW, and I think that'll be on Hulu. I don't know.
Who's
bringing back
on
the same
that
guys?
Show?
Yeah. No.
Is it a whole new cast?
I think it's a partially new cast. Mm. The host is Aisha Tyler, and
That's
I haven't seen it.
Interesting.
I'm going to give it a shot. I think that starts, you know, now.
Hmm. I think we talked about this last time I was on. First of all, I can't really watch TV that's not over yet. So the idea of like watching something that's still in progress just kind of bums me out because I don't want to have to wait. So with that in mind, we talked about last time I was here about Sorkin.
Right.
And how I'd never seen a Sorkin show.
Okay.
So we discovered The West Wing.
Right.
In between then and now. That's a pretty good show. Turns out that show's pretty watchable.
Pretty great, yeah.
Yeah. Go watch The West Wing. It's on Netflix, and I take back everything I said about Aaron Sorkin. That show is great. We've been watching through that and Planet Earth because my silly Blu-rays finally showed up.
Yeah.
And that show is also amazing. And there's some behind-the-scenes footage if you get the special edition, which obviously you can't stream anywhere, but it's worth the price to buy it on Amazon or wherever you might buy Blu-rays, because it's got these amazing behind-the-scenes shots of these camera crews traveling all over the world and traveling into like war-torn Pakistan to climb these remote hinterlands and find like snow leopards.
Yeah,
it's I'm just really excited today about nature and documentaries. And so check out Planet Earth.
Okay,
watch The Newsroom and the Steam sale's going on.
Watch The Newsroom.
Yeah,
not West Wing.
No, watch The Newsroom because you've probably already seen The West Wing. Because everyone in the world except for me has
seen
The West
either.
Wing.
See,
really?
I'm watching The Newsroom in spite of my better judgment. So,
do you like
it?
No. I hear that people who actually have worked in a newsroom find it obnoxious.
It is. Well, I haven't worked in like a network broadcasting newsroom, and I find it obnoxious because it's obviously written by somebody who has no idea how this stuff actually works.
Right.
My problem with it is that it's really well acted, and shot in like an interesting and like kind of tense and dynamic fashion, but it's also very earnestly like, I have something important to say about broadcast news. Like it jumps out and says, I'm important, pay attention to me and stuff like that. It doesn't just
there are a lot of big speeches.
Not just a lot of big speeches, there kind of are, but it's just the way it tackles everything. It's okay. The show is self-important. It's like you can tell it's got an ego about itself. It feels like that to me, and it just annoys me. Anyways.
Actually, I feel like the
even though I that I watch it.
that's awesome. But I feel like The West Wing, having just being right in the middle of watching it now, is very similar. Like it's
more than West Wing. It's more so than that, which is kind of like a...
Because The West Wing is kind of lovable, I think, mostly because Martin Sheen makes a great dad, no matter whether he's playing a dad or the...
Yeah,
president
or a president
States.
Dad, yeah.
Yeah, but
true.
It's very hopeful, and it has a lot of outspoken moments where it's like talking about how great good government can be. Mm-hmm. And it's a real bummer to read the news right now after watching The West Wing, because everything seems so hopeful when they're walking and talking through this fake Oval Office. But I imagine, if someone actually worked in The West Wing, they would be really frustrated by that show.
Yeah.
But I want to circle back and say the Steam Summer Sale is on through July 22nd, so hopefully this will be up before that ends. Go get yourself some cheap PC games.
Oh, yeah. Do that.
They're great.
Okay, and with that, we're going to leave you for today. Susie, how do people find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at SFSooz, S-F-S-O-O-Z.
All right, and Alex?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at A-W-A-W-R-O.
And I'm at JasonCross00. And if you want to reach us here at the podcast, send a mail to entertainment@techhive.com. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Goodbye.